I want to thank all of y'all for being here this morning as the worship team takes their seats. Amen. Today is a very beautiful day. Amen. AC didn't work all day yesterday. Today it worked and it went off again. So it's going on and off. But praise the Lord, it just happens to be a very cool day outside. Stevie was working this morning, man. And then we had put it down to 65 and it got cold in here. Then I put it back to normal. Oh, I'll talk to you after service. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As we prepare ourselves for this morning's message, amen, I know the Lord has spoken to me through a very, very simple message. Again, just from my reading and spending time with the Lord, simple message, but it's going to be so simple that you're going to be able to understand it and that it's going to be able to go in and do what it's been called to do. Amen. As we go to the book of Exodus here, still speaking on Moses. It's been many, many, many preachings on Moses regarding his humble beginnings, amen, of being inadequate, amen, of saying, who am I, and didn't know who he was. He didn't know who God was. He knew who the Pharaoh was, amen, and how God would take him through the process to get to a place, amen, to where he knew who he was and knew who God was. And we're all in that process right now. Truly finding out our identity, truly finding out who God is. As we continue to grow, I promise you, your life cannot stay the same. You cannot stay making the same mistakes. Amen? The theme of this year is the time is now. And I want us all to, all those announcements, there's great things coming around. I mean, these great things, there's so many of them. All of them are big finances. Each one of them is about $1,500, $2,000 for each one of those, about, I don't know, six, seven read off. It's a lot of finances, and we need the church to come together right now. If there's ever a time, it's now for the church to come together. Amen? So the theme of this year has been the time is now, but this morning's title to this morning's message is the time is now to remember what the Lord has done. The time is now to remember what the Lord has done. Sometimes we got to look back to see what the Lord has done, to see what the Lord has for us. Sometimes it's easy to forget what the Lord has done, which in return allows us to forget and why he has saved us and to forget our purpose. I'm going to be speaking about here where the Lord will come. Well, let's go to Scripture. Exodus 13, verse 3. Where they would be celebrating the Passover and how he would give instructions to Moses regarding the Passover and the celebration and how God moved in removing them from Egypt. How many know that the Lord has removed them from Egypt? I want you to raise your hand here this day. You might be still going through issues, going through problems. Your problems today don't mean that you're in Egypt. Egypt is a place when you know you're in Egypt. Amen? Exodus 13, verse 3. Exodus 13, verse 3, opening verse says, then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side, Lord. We've all opened the doors to our heart this day that you may enter with your word, Lord, that you may set us free this day furtherly by your truth. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. In verse 9, still there within Exodus chapter 13, here the Lord would be giving instructions to Moses and how they would go about, amen, not forgetting this date and what the Lord had done in removing them from Egypt. It was something that took place that was great. A people that had been in bondage for a long time. I know that I was in bondage a long, long, long time. It's a long time when you're running with the devil every day, doing drugs, ODing, going in and out of the prison system, whether it was for 2 years or 15 years. It's a long time when you're out there with the devil, running with the devil day and night. I know when the Lord pulled me out of Egypt, it was a great day. It was something that my parents couldn't do, something that the prison system couldn't do, that all the women in the world couldn't do, that money couldn't do. But Jesus set me free in a setting just like today. I was in a chair sitting down just like you are today. And I would be hearing my pastor that, little did I know, 20 years later would become my best friend in the world. Let me see, my best friend forever, my BFF? My BFF! I seen some of you on Facebook have a BFF, and then, man, if I was giving a rehab message, I had a good one for there, but I had to stop myself. From a BFF to, I hate you. I don't want to ever talk to you again. That's never happened once between my pastor and I. Not once. So I know when the Lord saved me, that day was so great that I've never forgotten how the Lord's mighty hand pulled me out of Egypt. It was something that no one could do. But it was something the Lord could do because he had a purpose for my life. He had a plan for my life just as much as he has a purpose and a plan for your life. But a lot of times we go on living year after year not knowing the plan of the Lord, not knowing our purpose, and time keeps ticking and ticking and ticking. Amen? Verse 9 says, this observance will be for you like a sign on your hand. There's a lot of times where I'm up there and I get a thought from the Lord. I pull my pen out and I write on my hand. For I won't forget what I got to do after the service. I'll write, and I know it looks unprofessional, but I should come with a little notepad or something here, and I'll go boom. And I, whether it's something positive or negative, I write it on the palm of my hand. Why do I write it on the palm of my hand? For I won't forget. That's not on the notes. That was a good one right there. For I won't forget. I write it on the palm of my hand. As the Lord is ministering, I go, man, I know that's of the Lord. And I write it on the palm of my hand. So after the service, and I'm like, oh, my God, where's the phone? Where's my phone? I got to call Sally. It's a sign. And here God was making it real important. He was telling Moses to tell the people, this is very important. It's so important that you're not to forget. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand. The Bible goes on to say in the NIV, and a reminder on your forehead. Amen? A lot of gang members put tattoos on their forehead to let the other opposition know who they run with and to let themselves know who they run with when they look at the mirror, amen? I'm XIV, I'm X13. Those are gangs from California, for nobody gets bent out of shape up here, amen? It's to serve as a reminder on the forehead. Now, we got to ask ourselves, back then, did they have mirrors, you know, where they would, oh, I forgot, you know, I can't forget what the Lord did for me, amen? I believe they didn't have mirrors, but I believe they had water and they could see their reflection, amen? To put them on their foreheads. And I'm going to keep the message real simple, but there was actually leather bags that they would put on themselves around their hands and around their head to not forget. And there were parts of Scripture to not forget what the Lord had done. To not forget. As a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you, repeats again, for the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. So here is this sign on your hand. They were to have these signs on their hands to remind them. The signs are on their foreheads, amen, to remind them as a reminder. But I like the one to be on your lips. To be on your lips. I put here with a simple point the Lord gave me, speaking about what the Lord has done, speaking about what the Lord has done has a way of keeping the devil from speaking what he has done. Well, you like that one. You got to write that one. If you don't got to go a pen, go to Walgreens right now, go buy you a pen, bring back a notebook, and you take that one down. Speaking about what the Lord has done has a way of keeping the devil from speaking what he has done. When we don't speak what the Lord has done, we will be speaking what the devil has done and what he's doing and what he continues wants to do within our lives. These instructions were important. They were so important that they were not just to be on the palm of their hand and on their forehead, but on their lips. When's the last time you testified to somebody about your Passover? How death passed you over, or should I say, in my case, death passed me over 15, 20 times. When's the last time you have witnessed to somebody about what the Lord had done in your life? Speaking about what the Lord has done has a way of keeping the devil from speaking what he has done. Verse 10 says, memories, this is important. Verse 10 says, you must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. It wasn't just a one-time thing that took place, that they were to celebrate coming out of Egypt, and to no longer do it. It was something that had to be on the palm of their hand, on their forehead, on their lips, year after year after year of what the Lord had done in removing them from Egypt to the promised land. It was something that he would have them do, for they would not forget what the Lord had done. An appointed time, the Bible says. I put here in my simple notes, I believe the Lord always gives us an appointed time to witness on a daily basis. In this world that we live in this city that we live in, I really believe that each and every one of us, whether you work with one person or you work with 100 people, that each and every one of us have an appointed time daily to witness about what the Lord has done in your life. The appointed time. Year after year. year after year to me. I put here, I believe too many Christians stop speaking of the miracles the Lord has done as if it was just something of the past. Something Jesus did in the past. Yeah, 5-10 years ago, he took me off of drugs, took me off crack. Big deal. You wouldn't be here right now. You'd be in prison. You'd be dead right now. That's a big deal in my eyes. And it's a big deal in the eyes of God that we not forget what he did. That we not forget what he did. That his service is a reminder in what God did in removing us from Egypt, what no other person could do. But at times we forget because it's not on the palm of our hand. It's not in our forehead. Well, I want to say in our mind. It's not on our lips, which means it's not in our heart. We can't forget what the Lord has done. When the Lord, I've said it before, I'll say, when he starts ministering, the Holy Spirit starts ministering to me, he takes me back to a place when I was running with the devil. I mean, I couldn't even run with the devil no more. So when I was crawling with the devil, where I was naked with diarrhea, throwing up, and it was a mess in front of everybody. And not one person, it was a place where all the living dead or walking dead were just walking around, and everybody just went by. I was naked and months without showering, and something took place in my system, and all of a sudden, man, every faucet was working, man. I was laid out like an animal in front of hundreds of people, and nobody helped me but an 80-year-old old lady dragged me into her tent. We were living in the tents, man. I lived in plastic bags. I don't forget. The Holy Spirit is always sure to take me back to that time where that old lady, she was a black lady, she was 80 years old. We called her grandma on the streets. And we'd feel guilty and we would always bust her off a little piece of crack just to keep her happy. Can you imagine to keep grandma happy, give her a little bit of crack without having to pay for it? And it was grandma that dragged me, an 80-year-old lady, dragged me from here to that wall into her tent. It was pouring down rain and everything. I would wake up a couple of days later in her tent with a fist like this on a handful of about 20 pieces of crack. Man, when we woke up and all my crack was still there, grandma could have done me in. But grandma was just like, he's going to wake up sooner or later. And we smoked all that crack up in that plastic tent, me and grandma. I was so grateful that she was the only one that helped me that I blessed her with grandma with a lot of crack. That's how cracked up I was. And I know some of you were that sick also. And the Lord always takes me back to that. And that's where I pulled you from. I've never forgotten. 20 years later, I've never forgotten that. Grandma at one time was a high school teacher. She went through a bad time in getting a divorce, and she became a crack addict. Before you know it, she was living on the streets, a highly educated woman. Year after year, I believe too many Christians stop speaking of the miracles the Lord has done as if it was just something of the past. I put here, to speak of what the Lord has done already activates faith and hopes for those that need a miracle today. You see, when we don't forget the past and we remember what the Lord did, and as we not only remember but as we speak about it, we always got to know that there's somebody in Egypt that is right around us. And as we say that, this person all of a sudden has a faith and a hope because of what you're saying of what the Lord has done for your life. All of a sudden, you're bringing a fresh faith and hope for the person before you to be rescued from Egypt as well. From you not forgetting what the Lord has done in your life. As we speak it, even if it's something that we're speaking about that God did in our past, for someone else, he's doing something in the present. He's doing something fresh in you that someone needs help. And they see us and say, wow, God did it for you. He can do it for me. But if we forget what the Lord has done and we not speak what the Lord has done, those people that are around us that God has called us to reach are going to remain in Egypt. We're a frontline ministry. There's a good little, another good little point here. I put here, to remember what the Lord has done will remind you, this is for you, amen, not for the person that's lost and bound. To remember what the Lord has done will remind you to what the Lord has for you. A point from the Lord. To remember what the Lord has done will remind you to what the Lord wants to do in your life. But too many times, if we forget what the Lord has done, we will definitely not know what He has for us today and tomorrow. We can't forget what the Lord has already done for our sakes. And we especially can't forget what the Lord has already done for those that are still in Egypt. What do? When we go to the streets? We tell them what the Lord did for us, right? We take them to the Passover, how the Lord took us out of Egypt. And all of a sudden, they start crying. All of a sudden, they're giving their life to the Lord simply by us speaking of what the Lord has already done for us. But for them, it's what the Lord's about to do. Simple thoughts that we got to remember this message. You got to remember it. Get the CD or do what you got to do. Play it over and over, for you won't forget the word of the Lord. To remember what the Lord has done will remind you to what the Lord has for you. Verse 14 reads, it's important. Why is it important? It's important to our children. Verse 14 of 13 reads, in the days to come, you may not have children right now, but you will. It's important. In the days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Little thing on the palm of the hand, on the forehead, and speaking about the Lord. What does this mean, Dad? In the days to come, when your sons ask you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord has brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Our children, I put here, need to know how God saved our lives. We cannot be ashamed of who we were unto our children. We got to let them know that the mighty, powerful hand of God removed us from Egypt. And there's a reason why. It's important that we not forget. It's just not for the lost and bound, but it's for our very own children. That we not forget what the Lord has done within our lives. That we not stop speaking about what the Lord has done in our lives. Because in their time of trouble, speaking about our children, in their time of trouble, they need to know that they can go to Jesus. I put here real simple. How can they go to Jesus if they have never heard of Him? Even from their own dad or from their own mother. How can they go to Jesus if they've never heard of Jesus? Especially when Jesus is invisible. They need to be able to see Jesus in your life. They need to be able to hear what the Lord has done in your life. It always needs to be on your lips. Year after year represents to me whether you're in a good season or not in a good season. Your children need to know that they can go to Jesus, that there's a Jesus that saved you and I, that can save them in their time of trouble. Right now, children are running to this, children are running to that because they don't know Jesus. They're running to something. But if we tell them about Jesus and the mighty hand that rescued us from Egypt in their time of trouble, they will know where to run to. They need to see that Jesus can do all things through our lives and through our words that we speak. We need to go beyond them just hearing us speak about what Jesus did, but they need to be able to see a lifestyle of a man of God that is saved, of a woman of God that is saved. They got to go beyond just hearing what the Lord has done. They got to see it in your life. You got to see it in your life. You just can't quote scripture. You're going to have to one day learn how to walk scripture. They need to see it in your life. You need to start modeling Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. You need to start somewhere. Because in the time to come, your children are going to be running to something or someone just like we did. And even though I was raised in a proper middle-class home by educated parents, they did not teach me Jesus. I ran to drugs. I ran to what the crowd was doing, what looked right, what looked like it was fun. I ran the wrong way, even though I was raised properly, because Jesus was never introduced to me, even in my own house, by my own parents. I can't give no one the credit, but the Holy Spirit that came to me while I was in prison. Jesus was never taught to me. Jesus was never spoken to me. The blood of Jesus, never, never, never. My poor mother at the end would be saying, "The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus," in the house. She was a Catholic. And I'm all tweaking out on cocaine, and she's there, the blood, the Jesus, and doing all this weird stuff, throwing water at me. I said, "Man, you are crazy, woman. What's wrong with you?" She was desperate to see her son change. At the end, she was willing to try anything and everything. She saw that her son had become an animal. Why is it important that we not forget what the Lord has done, man? Because somehow or another, we're all tied into children. If you ain't got children, you might be in the children ministries. Somehow or another, we're tied into children, every last one of us here. And if we don't show it, the world will show our sons and daughters what to run to, even though it's wrong. We were born to run. We were born to be led. We were born to do something. When Jesus is not introduced, we will be sure to run in the wrong direction, in the direction everyone else is running, which is the majority. They need to see that Jesus can do all things, because their time of trouble will come. On a good day, their time of trouble will come. There's no way around it. They need to see it through our lives and the words that we speak. Verse 15, he's telling them these things are important, man. You can't forget them for yourself. You can't forget them for your children. And you can't forget them for those that I'm going to have you ministering to. Verse 15, the Bible reads, still in 13 of chapter 13. It says, "When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal." Goes on to say, "This is why I sacrifice to the Lord." I'm just going to pull that out right there. "This is why I sacrifice." Our children need to see us sacrifice in the things of the Lord. Our children need to know why we sacrifice. They need to know why we're grateful even if things ain't going good. Because we never have forgotten what the mighty hand of the Lord did in removing us from Egypt. Our children need to know why we sacrifice and why we do the things we do. They also need to know that a true relationship with Jesus comes with sacrifice. Too many churches that are not sacrificing. When we've been called to sacrifice all, to surrender all, to follow Jesus. So we can speak the words of Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. They need to know that a true relationship with Jesus comes with sacrifice. Our children need to know that there's going to be hard times and times of sacrifice and commitment in following the Lord. So sometimes our children are not taught, then they go to some church, whatever it may be, and then the pastor asks for them to sacrifice. This ain't Jesus. They need to know that a true relationship with Jesus comes with sacrifice. And if they can't see it in us, they're going to see it. They're going to sacrifice elsewhere. If they're not going to sacrifice unto the Lord, they will sacrifice their whole life unto the devil. Because that can be done in the natural. That can be done with an instinct. Bent towards sin, the Bible says. But to be in spirit, we can't forget. We need to be taught. And we need to continue to do it year after year. Because it's important what the Lord has done in our lives. It's important. In verse 17 and 18, still in chapter 13, the Bible says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. Real familiar scripture. I want to look at the word, though it was shorter. I want to turn this word shorter into shortcut. I go, a shortcut at times can and mean a sure defeat. I've seen so many people take shortcuts in Jesus to get to the place that God has called them to be quicker. It don't work like that. I got some simple points here. I said, I've seen many people take the shortcut that came with a battle they weren't ready for. Real good, simple stuff. The Lord knew where to lead them. I've seen in my 20 years many people try to take shortcuts in Jesus. Shortcuts in commitment. Shortcuts in giving. Shortcuts in disobedience. I've seen many do it. That think that they didn't have to do what the other person was doing and still be able to reap what that person was doing, reaping in obedience. I've seen many people take the shortcut that came with the battle they weren't ready for or prepared for to fight. The battle would come that would overpower them. And as they get overpowered, I've seen it in 20 years happen 1,000 times. It would eventually lead them back to Egypt. The defeat of the battle by taking the shortcut would overpower them. It was a battle at that young age in their walk with the Lord. That they would become overcome, which simply means going right back to Egypt. Verse 21 says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. By day to mean the pillar of cloud, and then by night the pillar of fire. I put here, the Lord wants to lead our lives not only during the day, which to me represents when everything's going good, when you can see what's taking place. When you can see. But He also wants to lead us by night, when everything is going the wrong way. The Bible tells us in verse 21, at the end it says, so they could travel by day or by night. I want to let you know that you can continue to grow in the Lord, whether it's by day or by night, whether you're in a good season or in a bad season. I want to let you know that you can continue and travel on the journey that you're with the Lord. No matter if it's day or night, He wants to be the God that is able to lead us when everything's going good, because I've seen a lot of people make mistakes and forget what the Lord did in Egypt. I've seen a lot of people forget when everything starts going good, a good job, big money, a brand new car. And I've seen good times make people take people back to Egypt. I've seen the blessings of God fall upon a man and a woman just to take them back to Egypt because they forgot what the Lord had done with His mighty hand in removing them from Egypt. They forgot. So they could travel by day or night. The Lord said, I'm going to lead you, not only in the good times, but I want to be a God, a Father that leads you even in the dark when you can't see what's taking place, when you don't understand what's taking place, when you're just losing it. God says, I want to lead you in that time. Just don't forget what I've done. Don't forget what I did in Egypt. And I can guide you through this journey with you. I can guide you in the dark. Because our walk is one of faith, not one of sight. There's somebody here this day that God wants to guide in the dark. You don't know what to do. Turn left, turn right. Keep going straight, stop, go back. And God's saying, let me lead you. Can I just take you back to what I did for you in the very beginning, just for you to be sitting in this church hearing this message right now? Here getting out of 13 now, going into 14, chapter 14, verse 8. They're doing good. They're walking. Amen. They're doing good. Chapter 14, verse 8 says that the Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. 2.7. You know why they were marching boldly? For one, they had been set free from bondage from Egypt. But another thing, they had silver and gold. They were marching rich. I mean, when you got money, it make you walk like, what's up, man? Yeah, what's up? I got you, bro. I got you. The Bible says that they were marching boldly. Been set free. Pharaoh who? You better ask somebody. Their pockets were jingling with coins and silver and gold. Some were like, oh, this gold is heavy, but I'm going to carry it. They were marching boldly. The hand of God had moved, opened up the sea, and they're moving. This is before the sea, amen? The Red Sea. So they're marching boldly, the Bible says. They've been set free. They got money, and they're on their way to the promised land. But real quick, in chapter 14, in verse 10, the Bible says, as the Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. The Bible says, now they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. I put here, Egypt will always pursue you. 14:8 says that the Pharaoh, the last scripture I used in 14:8, the Bible reads that the Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites. Egypt will always pursue you. Your past will always pursue you. I was speaking once again. I'm getting that thought with me, Pastor Jamie and Pastor Ray from Minneapolis. Amen. It's not that we go back to Egypt. It's that Egypt catches up with us when we stop growing. Egypt catches up with us. You were doing great. You were doing really good. And all of a sudden, you start thinking a little crazy. Start checking out everything. I haven't seen her lately. No, she's been there for 2 years. Egypt has caught up with you. Egypt will always pursue you. Verse 13, the Bible says, Moses speaking. Moses is about something now. He ain't that timid person no more. He was in control. He wasn't losing it. Verse 13 says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." He felt like saying, man, just in verse 8, you were walking boldly with all the money. What's wrong with you guys? Moses told him, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." How many know that we need a deliverance that goes beyond the deliverance of addiction, the deliverance of Egypt? In our process, in our walk with the Lord, there's deliverance after deliverance after deliverance that we need. Sometimes we get off the deliverance of addiction and we feel that's all we need. Now we're good to go. Moses answers the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." You will never see again. So he told them, one, do not be afraid. Two, put your chest out, stand firm. Three, he says, and you will see with your own eyes, you will see the deliverance the Lord would bring you today. He goes on and tells them, you will never see them again. But all they could see was all these Egyptian soldiers coming after him. Amen. What Moses was telling them to say, just stand firm, don't be afraid, and just watch what the Lord's about to do. Just watch. Verse 14, he gives them another instruction there. And he says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still. To me, being still represents to remain in position. You will watch the Lord fight. You only need to be still. I've seen too many people get out of position in their time of trouble. To me, being still represents remaining in position. Even though the literal and the physical is saying, you're done. Moses had seen enough. He had now gone through the process. He knew who he was, and he knew who God was. And he knew God was not going to let them down. And he told them to be still. He was just asking them, be still, remain in position, remain right there for you, where you're at, and watch what the Lord does. I put here, share. There's some things that are before you right now. There's things that you're facing right now that are beyond your wisdom, your knowledge, your finances. There's things right now that you see in your life. Some of you may say they're before you. Some may say they're behind you. Some may say, man, they're all around me, Pastor. The devil's all in my house. The devil's all in my mind. I tell you, be still here this morning and watch what the Lord is about to do. He tells them there, he says, and you will see the deliverance. You will never see them again. And once again, I finish off this day, quick message, of giving my testimony. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, come on, man. You died 15 times. You were in prison 7 years. You were a prostitute. You were eating out of trash cans. Yes. When I came and I was with where some of you all are at right now, coming to the first services, there was no way the Holy Spirit carried me into that church. There was no way that I was going to change. No way, no way, no way. I was straight out of the prison system. There was no way. It was so ingrained in my life that I was a loser. I still thought I was this and that, but there was just no way I was going to change. There was no way. Get married, what's that? There was no way I could be with one woman. There was no way. I kind of agreed that the coke and heroin wasn't good for me. I said, Lord, but man, there's no way I'm going to give up them cigarettes. It ain't happening. I'm going to die a Christian, a smoking Christian. Ain't no way. The women and the cigarettes. And I even made a vow to the Lord that I would never stop smoking marijuana. I love marijuana so much. Well, as soon as I got out of prison, the Lord was carrying me, man, because the women right there, the marijuana was right there. The only thing I got to do was the cigarettes. But a year in church, the Lord would even take the cigarettes away. I want to let you know that there was things that were stopping me that were before me. Marijuana, alcohol, women, coke, heroin, this, that. There were so many things that had me in bondage that I have seen no more for 20 years now. 20 years. They've never come back. They are gone. Things that I never thought would ever happen in my life that not even God could do. So I know if I was thinking like that, there's some people in this church saying, Pastor, I agree on this area that you spoke about in this area. I can do that, but that other area, hey, no way, Jose, man, I ain't changing that. I like that too much. There's no way I can change that area in my life. I've tried it 1,000 times. It's never worked. Why am I going to get my hopes up and my dreams up when I know it's just not going to happen? There's people like that right now thinking as I'm speaking right now. If that's the way I was thinking, I know there's some thinking that will never, that's just the way I'm going to think the rest of my life. That's just the way I'm going to feel the rest of my life. That brother that did that, I'm just never going to forgive him. That sister that did that, never. My mother, till my dying day, I will not forgive her. I'll never be able to forgive her. I said all those things. I said all those things too. I want to let you know when the Lord removed them, it's been 20 years that I have not seen none of those devices no longer in my life. I still speak about those devices of what the Lord removed from my life 20 years ago. What is it that you see right now in your life that you wish could be gone, but you just know it just ain't going to go nowhere? Not even God can change that area. As the worship team makes their way. What are those areas in your life? See, God's wanting to take you a little bit back before he takes you forward. Sometimes we got to go back to what he has already done to go forward in life and what he has for our life. Sometimes you just got to go back to the black and white stuff that you know that he removed from your life to convince you that what's before you right now can also be removed to never, ever be seen again. And we know the story that they saw the Egyptians that were coming, and then the waters of the Red Sea drowned every last one of them for the Egyptians, for the Israelites to never see them again. What is it right now in your life What is it in your life right now that you, if you could make one wish, like when you blow the candles out before in your birthday, make a wish, and we believe over a birthday cake. But right now, you're in the house of God to believe in God. Make a wish, if you want to call it that, unto the Lord this morning. God, if there's one thing I wish you could do, this is what it is. And blow the candle out. Because to the Lord, that's all he has to do to blow out what's in your life right now that seems so great and big. And to you, it is. And it's real. And it's there. But to God, he's saying, let me make that wish for you. Let me make that wish for you because I know what you need right now. I also need what you want. But let me make that wish for you. Let me blow it out. Let me bring that wish to pass. Let me blow that candle out, whatever it's about. And right now, some of you just got to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Let him make the wish for you. Let him say what needs to go from your life, this service. Let it be the Lord that blows out whatever is trying to keep you from serving the Lord. Let the Lord make that call in your life. Let the Lord lead you right now. He wants to lead by day and by night, by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. See, too many times we're trying to lead all the time. We're always trying to lead, and when we're leading, we're always asking what we don't need and what we want. And in the meanwhile, Egypt's pursuing you and trying to take you back. Egypt's in hot pursuit here this morning. And Jesus saying, you're standing between the Red Sea and the desert. What are you going to do? Are you going to allow me to lead you? Or are you going to try to make it happen again? Let the Lord lead you here this day. Lord, can you do this? Lord, can you do this? Ask Lord, what is it that you want to do here this morning? Because too many times in our storm, we ask for the wrong things. That pertains to nothing of the root of what's really taking place in your life. And we ask for what we can see, but there's always a root. There's always a root of Egypt pursuing you. So instead of making a wish this day and having your way, because it's my party, I do what I want to. Because it's my party, I cry if I want to. You would too if it happened to you, or something like that, right? Let Jesus pick for you here this day what you need. I'm going to make an altar call, and I want us just to come and say, Lord, what is it that you see in my life? What is it truly that's hindering me right now? I could guess that it's probably this or this because I'm not doing this or because I'm doing this that's hindering me. But what really is it, Lord? I'm going to allow you to show me. I'm going to allow you to lead me here this morning. I haven't done a good job leading. Even being saved, I haven't done a good job leading. See, God wants to be the God that leads in the good times and in the hard times. But it's funny how we can let God lead when everything's going good, but how quick we want to take lead when everything's going wrong. As we stand this beautiful day, I have not forgotten what the Lord has done for me. That was the message today. And that's what kept me for 20 years and continuously keeps me growing in what the Lord has done. Continues to allow me to go forward. Because I know Egypt's in hot pursuit after me right now. I'll put you're the pastor with all more emphasis because I am the pastor. Egypt's after me right now. That's why I need you people praying for me, my wife, and my children. Egypt's in hot pursuit for my life right now. Egypt wants to shut me up. But I believe as long as I remember, I don't have to have it all together. As long as I remember what the Lord did back then, that I'm going to keep the words of the Lord upon my lips. And know if the Lord was able to do what he did in Egypt, he's able to deliver me once again where I'm at currently today. From glory to glory, the Bible says. Whatever the worship song is. It's important we don't forget what the Lord has already done.
You are higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Awesome in power, our God.
Some of you just need to stop wondering what the Lord wants to do in your future. And some of you just simply have to go back and remember what he has already done. That alone should spring forth your life in Jesus.
God, you are higher than any other.
I'm going to open up the altars here this day.
Our God is healer.
Simply by what the Lord has already done.
Power of God. Our God, our God is greater.
The work of Egypt
our God
should take you
into
the work of the promised land.
God, you are
the work of Egypt will carry you into the work of the promised land.
Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.
In the name of Jesus.
Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand again? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
in the name of Jesus,
our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God